back and to the left, back and to the left, back and to the left.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that's Walking Dead but reckoning Ralph. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Ben, merrily rolling along, Kohler.
Phone rings, door chimes, in comes victory.
John, front row, Connors.
You all deserve to die in this game, not real life. That would be morbid.
And Michael, double helix, Davies.
It only takes four letters to spell your doom.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. It is the third elimination match of Season 9 here in the Viridian Dynamics Division. Keeping the scores, as always, let's say hello to Scoremaster Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hi there, Taylor. You know, I was out and about. Everyone was just so super nice to me. They were just falling over themselves. They had great, polite questions. I think everyone was very nice. Maybe, just maybe, it has something to do with the official Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show merchandise I happen to be wearing today, available now. Maybe?
He's not lying. This is not a bit. I can see it on his Zoom camera. It exists. It's real. Thank you, Dan. And also joining us today, working the boards, it's Production Master Dave. Hey, Dave.
I'm here.
Yes. All right. Dave has just woken up. He is ready to rock and roll. He's got his soundboards all queued up for a game of My Champion. This is the game where each one of our three players has picked a champion from somewhere in pop culture. But we pick the battle those champions are fighting. Jeopardy loser, theater nerd, and theme park expert Ben Kohler, who is your champion today?
My champion is the baker from the musical Into the Woods.
Sondheim acolyte John Connors, who is your champion?
My champion is Bubbles from The Wire.
And you may remember him if you're a club member from our Dantacular episode. He's now back to compete in the regular season. It's scientist and clown respecter Michael Davies. Michael, who you got?
My champion is Walter Sobchak from The Big Lebowski.
All right, three champions are locked in. I am on judging duties today, so let's spin the scenario wheel. Today's scenario asks, who's going to develop the most innovative, revolutionary dating app? Ben, why is the baker from Into the Woods going to develop the most innovative, revolutionary dating app?
To start with, the baker, we have seen, especially towards the end of the musical Into the Woods, that he is quite innovative. He works with his team because he doesn't necessarily have to do this alone, right? He's working with his team involving Little Red Riding Hood. He is working with Jack, and they come up with this weird contraption involving like some trees or something, I don't know, to kill the witch. So he's innovative. And granted, that's innovation, not necessarily tech. But if we bring tech into this, this is a baker who has been dealing with the technology of baking in the kitchen for his whole life. And most importantly, his wife's dead. So he needs a dating app to settle that problem.
Thank you, Ben. All right, John, make the case for Bubbles from The Wire as being the one to develop the most innovative, revolutionary dating app.
Well, it's important to remember that throughout the course of the show, Bubbles was a human empathy machine. He understood the characters on the show in a way that no one else did. He felt people. Remember Sherrod's death? He felt that in a way that was truly astounding. And the other thing to remember is that at the end of the show, he has his new life. I don't want to spoil The Wire for people, but he has his new life. He's been featured in the Baltimore Sun. And the idea that Bubbles would then get connected with some tech experts looking to create an app and tapping into that deep human empathy that he demonstrated in that profile piece, I have to assume that's what happened.
Thank you, John. And Michael, make the case for Walter Sobchak as being the one who's going to develop the most innovative, revolutionary dating app.
Okay. Well, Walter knows all kinds of people. He was not in the military, but he acts like he was, I think. He has experience with dating apps himself, having being divorced now, but having adopted Jewish customs from his wife, despite not being Jewish. I'm sure he goes back and forth between JDate and other apps, constantly having to change his profile because people are always confused by it. So he has that experience. And also, he's the only one of the three who lives in California, so he can, you know, hook up with the tech scene a lot easier than the other two.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It is time for me to determine our winner. John, I'm going to have to disqualify you right off the bat, if only because, yes, I did fall off of the wire midway through season two. All the Frank Sabatka stuff kind of didn't get it for me. But Bubbles was a character I liked, and you did legitimately spoil the end of what's going to happen to Bubbles for me. So out of pure anger and spite, you're thrown out right off the top. So now we're down to Walter Sobchak and the Baker from Into the Woods. Now, the case for Walter sort of kind of makes sense, but it's more about sort of using dating apps as opposed to being really the one to develop them. At the same time, when it comes to the Baker potentially having anything to do with dating and innovation, I'm worried that he's just going to end up hooking Red Riding Hood up with the wolf again, and nobody wants to see that happen. You know, where the subtext there is nasty and gross, especially when Johnny Depp enters the picture. So it's a tough one. No one has immediately jumped out and swayed me. So
no, wait, Taylor, I need to jump in here.
Please.
You've seen Into the Woods recently, right?
Semi-recently. It's near the... This is a controversial opinion. This is my worst opinion, that Into the Woods is near the bottom of my Sondheim rankings.
That is definitely a wrong opinion. You remember the part where they killed the witch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that doesn't happen in the show.
Oh, okay.
They kill the giant.
Oh, my God. I meant the giant. That, I miss... I apologize. I misspoke.
See, I was just assuming I had misremembered. I don't remember the witch dying at all. I was trusting the guy who's dropping company references in his opening thing to be the one to know more about Into the Woods. So for that, I'm just going to Michael. It's going to Michael. Ben, you've screwed yourself with your inaccuracy. Michael and Walter Sobchak, you are the winners of my champion.
Thank you. Thank you.
Dan, do we need to intervene here, Dan? Do we need to, like, oversee this operation because we're having a crisis of confidence in the My Champion process?
People expect a certain quality of Sondheim content from this show, and I think we have to uphold that, you know?
I have nothing but the sincerest apology and embarrassment. I distinctly, straight up misspoke. It was not just the giant, it was the giant's wife.
I kind of feel like John needs something for his wire argument and getting screwed out of anything just because Taylor hasn't watched a 25,000-year-old show yet. Dan, can we give him a tenth of a point or something here?
John's going to get one tenth of a point. Absolutely.
All right. Here we go. All right.
The producers have intervened and exerted their will. I am officially putting myself on notice when it comes to My Champion judging for the rest of this season. I'm on a probationary status. In the meantime, though, we are still going to uphold Michael's victory and allow him to take a crack at the half point. Answer this question correctly, and you will get half a point more than either of your fellow players. Here is your half-point question. On the 2014 one-season comedy series A to Z, Ben Feldman works at a dating website called Wallflower. His romantic interest on the series is played by this actress, known for Broadway work in Once and as the titular mother in How I Met Your Mother.
I think I know who this is. She was the woman who was, like, in disguise on that episode of 30 Rock, but I can't remember her name. I'm sorry.
Ben knows this one.
Kristen Milioti?
Yes, also from that episode of 30 Rock where she was a sexy baby. Well, Michael, you may have missed the half point, but you still get to go first in round one. Predicated on what? A good title gives you the subject of the film, but a great title gives that subject a verb and turns it into a complete sentence. In this game, we'll ask a question related to a movie whose title is a grammatically complete sentence. The answer to that question will also be that movie's title. For instance, if we asked, what's going to happen when Daniel Day-Lewis smashes Paul Dano's head with a bowling pin, you'd know the answer was...
There will be blood.
There will be blood. That answer would get you 10 points. If you need a hint, we can tell you two stars of the movie, but then a correct answer is only worth 5. Let's start with Michael. From the year 1992, what happens when Bruce Wayne comes back to take on the Penguin?
Batman Returns.
For Ted. Next to John, this is a 2007 movie. Who are you when you're the last man alive in a city filled with vampiric mutants?
That's the Will Smith one. I Am Legend?
Yes, you are. For 10. Over to Ben from the year 2011. Why are we suddenly on the hook for the upkeep of the Rosemoor Animal Park?
I'll tell you why. We bought a zoo.
That's correct. Next, back to Michael from the year 2003. What should you do with the 5-point palm exploding heart technique?
I need a hint.
This movie stars Uma Thurman and David Carradine.
I think I should. Kill Bill.
Moving into sentences in the imperative. Yes, Kill Bill. For John, from the year 2017. What should Chris Washington do when he meets his girlfriend's parents upstate?
Oh, that's not Chris Washington. I'm going to meet the parents, but I don't think that's right. Washington, it's not meet the parents upstate. I'm gonna have to ask for a hint. That's what I'm gonna have to do.
This movie stars Daniel Kaluuya and Allison Williams.
Well, then he should get out.
Yes. Back to Ben from the year 2009. What is the Lamia demon going to do when you deny an old woman an extension on her mortgage?
Drag me to hell.
Very nice. Back to Michael. We're back to the year 1967. How long should I hold off before robbing a blind woman's apartment?
I think you should wait until dark.
Nice. Over to John from the year 2016. How do I stay silent when robbing a blind man's house?
Blind man's house? I don't think I'm going to take a hint.
This movie stars Stephen Lang and Jane Levy.
Well, that's one of those horror movies. You're exposing a blind spot. I am going to have to pass.
Ben?
Don't breathe.
Ben, this next one's for you from the year 2008. What should government agent Osborne Cox have done with his memoirs to keep those gym employees from getting a hold of them?
Well, first of all, he should have learned that it was not a Schwinn. And second of all, he should burn after reading.
Another strong answer for Ben will take us to our first score update from Scoremaster Dan.
Everyone is doing very well so far. John has 15.1 points. Michael's got 25. Ben is in the lead. He's got 30.
All right, Ben, perfect so far. So we'll see if the jinx goes into effect. This next one is for Michael from the year 2012. What happens when a Japanese culinary master with 3 Michelin stars goes to sleep at night?
When Jiro goes to sleep at night, Jiro dreams of sushi.
Correct. Over to John, we're in the year 2009. If I'm Jennifer Goodwin, what romantic advice is the cute bartender giving me about how I'm misinterpreting romantic signals?
Jennifer Goodwin and John Krasinski and Kate Hudson, but I don't know if I'm going to get the title. It's not How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. That was earlier and different people. I'll take the hint just in case I'm wrong.
This movie stars Ben Affleck and Jennifer Aniston.
Ben Affleck, is that Ben Affleck and Jennifer Aniston? Pass.
This is ensemble rom-com. He's just not that into you. Next up to Ben from the year 2017. What happens after a woman in Pennsylvania decides to infiltrate the life of a social media influencer?
That is the one where Aubrey Plaza is crazy. Ingrid Goes West.
That's how you talk it out. Last complete sentence title for each player. This one is for Michael from the year 1963. Why is everyone being so ridiculous in their wild pursuit of a suitcase full of money under the big W?
It's a mad, 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 mad world.
Nailed the number of mads in there. Nice job, Michael. Next over to John. This is from the year 2000. Hey, deadbeat brother, are you dependable enough to not take my young son to a pool hall while I'm off having an affair with my bank manager boss?
Young son, pool hall, bank manager boss. No, I'm going to need the hint on that one.
This movie stars Laura Linney and Mark Ruffalo.
So my score, to the contrary, you can count on me.
Good for 5. And the last one is for Ben from the year 2018. What's the best opening line for a telemarketing call when you're using your white voice?
That is the movie with the weird creatures that show up. Sorry to bother you.
Got there eventually. Nice job, everybody. That'll do it for round one. Up next, the scores from Dan, and on to round two. Hey, listeners, Taylor here to tell you about what's going on in the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show Membership Club. Want more of our show? Head on over to usaquizshow.com/club and subscribe at any one of our membership levels. You will get ad-free and sometimes early drop episodes, as well as access to our Discord channel for not only this show, but all the Through Methods podcasts. That's Extra Hot Great, Listen to Sassy, and Again With This. You can also join in on our live trivia and game night events that we do for all our members. We're right now at 3 episodes a month for this show, and if we can get our membership drive even higher, we will get up to 4 full episodes per month. So the more people we can get joining us, the more show you will get. Catch it all at usaquizshow.com/club.
Going to round 2, it's time for the Samurai Warrior, the Battles of Usagi Yojimbo score break. Samurai Warrior, The Battles of Usagi Yojimbo. Any chance we can get this 80s classic on Steam? Please? Right now, Ben is in the lead with 50 points. Michael's got 45. John is bringing up through with 20 points and 1/10. But that means he'll have to go first in round 2.
It also means John could make up some ground with The Threequalizer. John, I'm about to ask you a question that has 3 possible answers. You will have 3 guesses to match as many of those answers as you can, with 10 points to you for each answer you can match. Here is your Threequalizer question. 4 people were credited series regulars for all 5 seasons of the Fox sketch comedy series In Living Color, extending even past the Wayans era. The one woman among those 4 was Takea Crystal Kema. Who were the other 3 men?
Jim Carrey, Jamie Foxx, David Alan Greer.
2 out of 3 gets you 20 points. That 3rd comedian is Tommy Davidson, showing up on all 5 seasons as a regular on In Living Color. So we're going to keep the color going with round 2 entitled Multichromatical. While image capturing technology has evolved and differentiated over the years, filmmakers sometimes still like to use both black and white footage as well as color footage in their movies, often for stylistic effect. In this game, we'll describe how or why a particular movie uses both those color schemes. You name the movie. For example, if we told you that this 1939 movie starts in sepia tone, but then switches to color after the tornado sequence when Dorothy arrives in a magical land, you'd know that movie was
The Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard of Oz. That answer would get you 20 points. If you need a hint, I can tell you 2 stars from the movie, but then the answer is worth just 10. Then, as a quick audio follow-up, we'll play 4 seconds of a popular song that has the words black, white, or colors somewhere in its title. Name that song for 10 more points. Let's start with John's first question. The conceit of this 1998 movie is how people from the real world intrude into the reality of a black and white sitcom, and the world gradually turns to color as the teens exert their modern influence.
I believe that is Pleasantville.
Correct for 20. John, here's your first black, white, or colors audio clip.
Paint It Black by the Rolling Stones.
Even gets the artist in there for another 10. Next up to Michael. This 2001 neo-noir alternates scenes in black and white, which move forward in time, and scenes in color, which are presented reverse chronologically, until they eventually meet in the middle for the main character's final revelation.
Okay. Nobody wears a fedora in this, so I never thought of it as a neo-noir. But is this Memento?
It is for 20. Now here's your first black, white, or colors song.
You were only waiting for this moment to arrive.
Is that Blackbird?
By the Beatles. Next up to Ben. Based on a black and white comic series that contains a few pops of color, it made sense to make this 2005 movie look the same way. So if one of the 3 adapted segments is called That Yellow Bastard, you know they're going to make the character look yellow.
That would be Sin City.
And here's your first black, white, or colors clip.
Don't be discouraged, don't worry.
That would be the song that was very well used in the pre-show to the Epcot attraction, Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, True Colors.
Yeah, the Phil Collins version.
I don't know. That I can't help you with.
All right, we are back to John. In this 2006 franchise reboot, the opening scene is in harsh black and white, showing our hero's earliest days as a secret agent, helping to illustrate just how far back in the character's past this reboot is taking us.
Casino Royale?
Black, white, or colors in this song coming at ya.
White Rabbit?
Another 10. Next to Michael. This 1991 historical drama has many sequences that take on an almost essay-like quality, with use of grainier black-and-white footage to feel more like archive clips, underscoring various characters' narrations as they weave together a political conspiracy.
Okay, I'm hoping this is what the little clip at the beginning was, JFK.
Back and to the left.
Very good. Here's your next black-white colors clip.
Can I hear it again? Is that White Room by Cream?
In this case, we're talking Ram Jam's version of Black Betty. Bam, a lamb. Next up to Ben. This Brooklyn-set 1986 comedy is mostly in black and white, but switches to color at an outdoor festival, including a musical performance arranged for another by one of her three potential suitors.
I'm not totally sure on this, but Brooklyn and black and white is making me want to guess. I'm going to guess She's Gotta Have It.
Went for the big points. Nice job, Ben. Here's your next black-white colors song.
That would be... I'm humming it. Guys, what is the title? Black Hole Sun.
You got there. Nice job. Next black and white and color movie example is for John. This 1983 literary adaptation has one splash of bright red. It takes the form of Siamese fighting fish as the two main characters gaze at them through a pet store window.
I'll take the hint.
This movie stars Matt Dillon and Diane Lane.
Drugstore Cowboy?
Little early for that. Ben, you know this one?
Is that Rumblefish?
Francis Ford Coppola in his S.E. Hinton era, yes.
S.E. Hinton year, I think. Like that and The Outsiders, like the same time.
All right, John, here's your next black-white colors song clip.
Colors of the Wind?
From Pocahontas, yes. Next up to Michael. This 2018 documentary opens with real, unrestored footage from World War I, weathered and monochromatic. Soon after, it springs to life in colorized, restored 3D, complete with new music and voice tracks.
Okay, I saw this in the theater. It was a great experience. Title's a little confusing. They Shall Not Grow Old.
Fathom Events superfan Michael coming through with that answer. All right, Michael, here's your next black, white, or color song clip.
White Wedding.
Sounded like RoboCop the way you said that. I loved it.
There's going to be White Wedding.
All right, next up, we are back to Ben. While the Berlin of this 1987 supernatural drama is presented in color, the spirit world is shown in black and white, transitioning between the two styles as angels move between the two worlds.
That's the best episode of Columbo ever, Wings of Desire.
Nice. Here is your black, white, or colors song clip.
He said, son, when you grow up, would you...
Saw them in concert in September, and it was amazing. That is Welcome to the Black Parade by My Chemical Romance.
Yes. All right, let's get our next score update from Scoremaster Dan.
Well, Taylor, the players are just killing it in this round. Right now, Ben has the lead with 140 points. Michael's close by with 125. John has 110.1.
Ooh, that .1 is going to throw me off the rest of the day, let me tell you. All right, we are back to John. This 1991 neo-noir romantic thriller was initially filmed and presented entirely in color. After test screenings, audiences were confused about the film's timeline, so the sequences set in the past, a result of a character undergoing hypnosis, were changed to be in black and white.
1991, I think. I'm going to try it without the hint. I think that's Dead Again.
Kenneth Branagh and Emma Thompson. Very good. And here is your black, white, or color song clip.
Mm-mm. The way it is, this clip is for you!
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, cinco, seis.
You know it. Pass on that. That's not ringing any bells.
Michael knows this one.
Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
There it is. All right, Michael, next movie is for you. This 1980 sports drama switches to color for a peaceful montage made to look like home video footage, contrasting the sharper, more intense black and white footage of the main character fighting.
1980. I think I need a hint.
This movie stars Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci.
Okay, that has got to be Mean Streets. No, sorry. Raging Bull.
Close call. Raging Bull is correct.
And just to jump in, the decider there is that Dave had not yet buzzed it wrong, so he was still able to catch himself.
Faster than the speed of my fingers.
That's the standard we've set.
Yep.
All right, Michael, here is your next black, white, or colors song clip.
Could this be Colors by Ice-T?
Colors. The movie of the same name, he got there.
Colors.
Taylor, is this whole follow-up just an excuse to have that clip in there? Because if so, you can tell us. It's all right. This is a safe space.
Under advice of counsel, I plead the Fifth Amendment at this time. All right, Ben, next movie is for you. This 1993 historical drama is almost entirely in black and white, save for a prologue, an epilogue, and one girl's red coat.
That is Schindler's List.
Steven Spielberg, very good. Now your next black, white, or colors song clip.
That's Santana, Black Magic Woman.
He's keeping his streak going. All right, last black and white and color movie for each of our players. For John. There doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason for when this 2022 biopic cuts between color and black and white. It even switches aspect ratios several times. Perhaps the frantically changing presentation of the film reflects the weight of the different expectations and abuse levied at the main character over her tragically short acting career.
Oh no, I thought it was something else, and then you said her tragically short acting career. Now I'm wrong. 2022 biopic. Oh. Okay. So what was that called? It's the Marilyn Monroe biopic, but it wasn't called that. What was it called? Oh no. It was called Ana de Armas. Oh, I don't know what it was called. I'm saying Cloud. Why is Cloud in there? I don't think I'm going to get it. You can give me the hint.
Your hint is Ana de Armas and Bobby Cannavale.
Blonde.
Apparently Bobby Cannavale is what did it for you. So 10 points for Blonde.
Sorry, that was a big perhaps there, Taylor. Perhaps yes. That's why they did it.
I'm not going to pretend to understand what any of the decisions were in the making of that movie. All right, still for John, here is your black, white, or colors song clip.
Black roof country, no gold pavement.
Do-do-do, I'm singing in my head, and it's in the white room.
Michael said it earlier, we got there eventually. That is Cream with White Room. Michael, next movie is for you. While some flashback sequences in this 2003 action epic are presented in black and white, the most stunning transition away from the film's vibrant colors is for a 1-versus-88 fight scene set in Japan. The director has said that the switch to black and white was to make the violence feel less gruesome.
Okay, this can't also be Kill Bill, so I need a hint.
Your hint is Uma Thurman and David Carradine.
Kill Bill 2.
This happens in Kill Bill Volume 1, but if you just said Kill Bill, we might have taken it because, you know, the director apparently thinks it's one movie. Kill Bill was in Round 1. Things can appear multiple times in the same show. We try to keep you on your toes. Volume 1 is 2003, Volume 2, 2004, released to theaters. Still for Michael, here is a black, white, or colors song clip.
That's AC/DC's Back in Black.
Good for 10. we are over to Ben for his last question. In this 1945 literary adaptation, the title object is the only thing shown in color, becoming more horrific and visceral each time it is presented.
I was thinking it was a matter of life and death, but that's not an object. I will take the hint.
This movie stars George Sanders and Angela Lansbury.
Is that... No, that's Gaslight.
That title object here is the picture of Dorian Gray. Pretty darn good version of that, I gotta say, from 45. All right, Ben, here is your last Black, White, or Colors song clip.
They see me mowing my front lawn.
Another person I've seen in concert. That is White and Nerdy by Weird Al Yankovic.
10 more points to Ben. We'll close out round two. Up next, another score break from Dan and on to our final round. Before we get to our last round of play, it's time for the home version harmonic mean question. Using whatever logic you choose, determine the character that is the exact middle or harmonic mean on a continuum that spans from Cool Hand Luke to Jay Gatsby. Have a smart, clever, concise answer? Then hit that link in your show notes to send in that answer and win the prize of naming a score break right here on the show. We'll post our chosen winner along with some of our other favorite responses on our social media. We are at USA Quiz Show on Instagram and Twitter. And now, the scores from Scoremaster Dan.
Also, if you want to send in an explanation of why a harmonic mean is a better name for this than a geometric mean, go right ahead and do it. Taylor wonder what the hell you're talking about, but I'm here for it.
Because I can't play a geometrica.
Right now, Ben is the lead with 108 points. Michael has 155. John is in third place with 130.1 points. That means he'll just go first in round three and will need just 5 correct answers in order to take the lead.
Still a very tight game, and anything can still happen here in the lightning round. Players have their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. You will earn 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are Millennials After School, Ear, Nose, and Throat Singing, Lit Entertainment, and November Alpha Tango Oscar. Now, those topics are a little bit mysterious, not 100% clear from their names alone, so try to pick the thing you're going to do the best on. Or maybe you want to keep something that sounds easy away from one of your fellow competitors. John, in third place, you get first pick. Which of the 4 categories would you like? Once again, they are Millennials After School, Ear, Nose, and Throat Singing, Lit Entertainment, and November Alpha Tango Oscar.
I am going to go with Lit Entertainment in the probably incorrect assumption that we're talking literary adaptions.
Probably incorrect is itself incorrect because you are spot on. This is all going to be about adaptation of classic literature for the screen. He's rubbing his palms together. John is very excited. 90 seconds on the clock. Time starts when I finish reading the first question. John, are you ready?
I am ready.
This 1851 novel was partially inspired by the sinking of the whale ship Essex.
Moby Dick.
In Wuthering Heights, this Byronic character is a foundling from Liverpool, not a cartoon cat.
Yes.
Clueless is a modernized version of this Jane Austen tale. Snoopy tried to read this 1,200-page Tolstoy novel at a rate of 1 word per day.
War and Peace.
The Hours draws heavily from this author's Mrs. Dalloway.
Virginia Woolf.
Disney turned this orphaned Dickens character into a cartoon cat for a 1988 movie.
Oliver Twist.
James Dean starred as Cal in a 1955 adaptation of this Steinbeck novel.
East Eden.
In Crime and Punishment, Raskolnikov thinks he's entitled to kill a woman with this profession.
Yes.
This 14th century Boccaccio work was a major influence on The Canterbury Tales.
Yes.
Far From the Madding Crowd was this Jude the Obscure writer's 4th novel.
Pass.
This Tolstoy novel was a 2004 selection of Oprah's Book Club and a 2012 Keira Knightley movie.
Anna Karenina.
Martin Scorsese adapted this 1920 Edith Wharton novel into a 1993 movie.
Age of Innocence.
This Cervantes novel was turned into a cartoon featuring a coyote and a panda.
Don Quixote.
Don Quixote is correct, but just after the buzzer, unfortunately, John. All right, Dan, let's hear the John Report.
All right. Hey, I get to talk about some classic literature. That's better than the nonsense you guys normally have me going over here. In Wuthering Heights, the Byronic character is finally from Liverpool is Heathcliff, not one of these weird... Has anyone read Heathcliff lately? I'm not sure about the guy writing it. It doesn't make any sense. It hasn't in years. I don't know what's going on with him. In Crime and Punishment, Raskolnikov thinks he's entitled to kill a pawnbroker. The Boccaccio work, though, is a major influence on the Canterbury Tales, is the Decameron. And the author of Far From the Madding Crowd, not maddening, madding, thank you, is Thomas Hardy. John got 8 correct answers, giving him 210 points and 1/10 of a point. Michael is up next. He's got 155, so he'll need to get 6 correct answers in order to pull into first.
All right, Michael, 3 category choices on the board still for you. They are Millennials After School, Ear, Nose, and Throat Singing, and November Alpha Tango Oscar.
Okay, I think I'll go with November Alpha Tango Oscar. I think it might have something to do with geography.
In this case, we're talking the NATO phonetic alphabet, because if you spell the word NATO using its phonetic alphabet, it would be November Alpha Tango Oscar. So every answer in this round will contain a letter from the NATO phonetic alphabet. 90 seconds on the clock. Michael, are you ready?
Yes.
Inside the Actors Studio ran for 25 years on this channel.
Bravo.
Freddie Highmore takes over the title role in this 2005 remake.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
She played Suzanne Sugarbaker on Designing Women.
Delta Burke.
This Bill Amend comic launched in 1988.
Foxtrot.
In a 1987 short, Tim Conway's Dorf plays this game.
Golf.
The 2022 fourth film in this franchise is subtitled Transformania.
Hotel Transylvania?
This soul singer's debut album, Acoustic Soul, went double platinum in 2001.
Pass.
She had lead roles in The English Patient and Clouds of Sils Maria.
Pass.
This School of Rock writer has competed on The Amazing Race and Survivor.
Mike White?
Pierce Brosnan is a CIA operative in this 2014 actioner.
The November Man.
This 1991 comedy has Sylvester Stallone as a mobster trying to go straight.
Oscar.
Madonna sang that she was in trouble deep on this 1986 song.
Papa Don't Preach.
The 2021 legally not a Celine Dion biopic, Aline, was largely filmed in this province.
Quebec.
Jet Li and Aaliyah star in this Shakespeare-themed 2000 action movie.
Romeo Must Die.
We are taking it. During the buzzer, Romeo Must Die. All right, Dan, let's hear the Michael report.
Wow, somebody knows their NATO phonetic alphabet. My goodness. Just 2 passes. The soul singer is India.Airy, who with the album Acoustic Soul. And once again, getting to do some high-class stuff rather than talking about, you know, Commando or Cobra and nonsense like that, Juliette Binoche starred in Clouds of Sils Maria. Michael had 12 correct answers, giving a total of 275 points and the lead. Ben is going to need to get 10 correct answers in his category in order to take the win.
Did I just hear somebody disparage the movie Commando? Did that reach my ears?
Dave, it's not high art. It's not bad, but I have nothing but love for Jeff Loeb, but, you know, not high art.
Excuse the hell out of me.
Alyssa Milano?
The deer?
Oh, that's right, when they feed the deer.
John
Classic.
Matrix.
It's fucking high art.
All right, I will have to watch it again. The boy hasn't seen it.
All right, Ben, 10 correct answers is a tall order, so let's see how you do. Your choices are Millennials After School and Ear, Nose, and Throat Singing.
I will do Ear, Nose, and Throat Singing.
Ben, where do you think this is going?
Something involving music that mentions body parts.
You're not entirely in the wrong realm here. This is going to be all about songs about doctors and medicine. So doctors and medical things in music. 90 seconds on the clock. Ben, are you ready?
I am.
Harry Nilsson receives a prescription to put this fruit in the coconut.
Lime.
In Across the Universe, Bono plays this doctor from the title of a Beatles song.
Dr. Robert?
Weird Al Yankovic parodies Madonna with this medically themed song.
Like a surgeon.
This folk rock duo went to see a doctor of philosophy in their song Closer to Fine.
Indigo Girls.
This actress sings Spoonful of Sugar in Disney's Mary Poppins.
Julie Andrews.
A doctor tells a patient, you better have fun in this Prince song, covered by Sinead O'Connor.
Nothing compares to you.
This New Jersey rock band performed 1988's Bad Medicine.
Bon Jovi.
Shawn Mendes released an acoustic version of Stitches featuring this Dickinson star.
Haley Steinfeld?
I Want a New Drug was the second single from this Huey Lewis in the News album.
Sports?
This country music legend wrote Chemo Hero about her niece's battle with cancer.
Pass.
Dr. Feelgood is the only single by this band to reach gold status from the RIAA.
Motley Crue?
This Minnesota college rock band wrote Tommy Gets His Tonsils Out about their bass player.
Pass.
This singer wrote Make It Go Away, the Radiation song, about her 2010 battle with breast cancer.
Pass.
This yacht rock outfit performed an ode to Dr. Wu.
Steels and Crofts.
Steely Dan with Dr. Wu there. All right, Dan, I think it's going to be a squeaker. Let's hear the Ben report and our final scores.
Oh, Taylor, it is close. Let's go through the passes first. The country music legend who wrote Chemo Hero is Dolly Parton. The Minnesota college rock band who wrote Tommy Gets His Tonsils Out is The Replacements. And Sheryl Crow had the song Make It Go Away, the Radiation song. Ben needed 10 correct answers in order to take the win. He had exactly 10. So our final scores are John with 210.1, Michael 275, and Ben is our winner with 280.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Good job, that Ben. Was good.
Oh,
wow.
My gosh.
Nicely the man right there. I really had no idea. Wow.
Oh, my heart man. Is still pounding. Congratulations, Ben.
I thought I was done. By the way, when you were telling me about the doctors, I was like, I don't know. I thought of Bad Medicine and could think of no other song.
Well, luckily it came up for you. Nice job, Ben. You will be moving on to the Viridian Dynamics Division Finals. But that does mean we have reached the end of the road for John and Michael here in Season 9. Super competitive, high-scoring game. Loved, love having the both of you on. But before we go, John, is there anything you would like to plug for our listeners?
I would just say that if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can get me being angry at the state of the world on @CozyAndPosh. And if you want to pretend to be Stephen Sondheim, angry at the state of musical theater from beyond the grave, you can follow me @AngrySondheim.
That sounds awesome. Thank you, John. And Michael, anything you would like to plug for us today?
Okay, well, my dream came true in that there were no musical theater quest categories, but I still didn't win. So I will just direct you to my favorite Spotify playlist that I've made. It has over 400 songs now by various female singers and artists from the 80s. It's called 80s Ladies Beyond Thunderdome. It started out as one thing. Now it's another thing. And that's it. Thanks, everybody.
I listened to it since the last time you were on. I can confirm. Great playlist.
Thank you. Thank you.
And Ben, our winner today, anything you'd like to point our listeners towards?
I'd like to point you to the Indigo Girls, but I was happy they came up. Great artist. But also, you can follow me on Letterboxd, I guess. I'm there at TheBennyC. And also, James DeMonaco, the filmmaker, is a good friend of mine, so you can check out the Purge movies.
Thank you, Ben. And you can also follow Ben as the theatrical mask emoji over on our Season 9 bracket. Well, that'll wrap us up for this week. Be sure to join us next time for the third elimination match in the Gizmonic Institute division. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan, Production Master Dave, John, Michael, and Ben, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show.
Let off some steam, Bennett.